Heichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 16 in the series, entitled Opening Windows to the Soul, recorded live at Heichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. Daf Chesam Ad Aleph, Perek Dalet, the fourth Perek of Tanya. Page 15. Va'ayd yash l'chal nefesh aleikis shloish alavushim. In addition, every divine soul, every nefesh aleikis, possesses three garments. In other words, in addition to its 10 faculties discussed at length in chapter 3, that every single divine soul consists of 10 attributes, 10 faculties, 10 kaiches, 10 characteristical traits, which he discussed at length in Perek Gimel of Tanya. In addition to this, he begins, every divine soul also possesses 3 levushim, 3 garments. What are these 3 garments? Shehem, they, the garments are machshava, dibur, umaisa, shel tafresh yud gimel mitzvah satayra. They are the thought, the speech, and the action as they find expression in the 613 mitzvahs, commandments of the Torah, the Taryag mitzvahs. These are the 3 garments of the soul. What is Reb Shneur Zalman, what is the Alter Rebbe telling us over here? So we must examine the nature of a garment in its physical manifestation. Just as a garment, quite obvious, does not possess a distinct identity of its own, the sole purpose and function of a garment is exactly as its name, a garment to the human being. A healthy human being doesn't buy a suit to display it in his closet. That's not the function of a suit. The function of a suit is to serve as a garment, as an expression, as a protection, as a shield, and so on and so forth for your body. The same is true regarding the garments of the soul. There are those aspects of the soul that define its identity, its persona, its character. These are the 10 attributes and faculties that mold and craft the essence, the personality of the soul. The garments of the soul would mean those aspects of the soul that are instruments, they are the methods through which the soul expresses its identity, through which the soul reveals its identity, either to itself or to other people. And this is the idea of thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, and action are not the personality of the soul. The 10 faculties, chachma, bina, das, conception, comprehension, application, attraction, rejection, and so on and so forth, the other 5 attributes, create and mold what type of character this soul has. This is the experience of the soul, the identity of the soul. Thought, speech, and action are the instruments through which the soul functions. They are the spiritual faculties and abilities for the soul to express itself. Comes the Alter Rebbe over here and says, a Jew has a nefesh alikis, a divine soul, in addition to our first soul, our vital, natural, worldly, self-oriented soul. We have another state of consciousness, a divine soul. And this divine soul has a personality which he discussed in Perek Gimel, chapter 3. It has cognitive, intellectual faculties, emotional faculties, functional faculties. As discussed last week at length, all the 7 emotional faculties, and the weeks before, the intellectual faculties. So in Perek Dalet, he introduces a new dimension, that the soul also possesses 3 garments, 3 mediums of expression. Those are thought, speech, and action, which, by the way, the animal soul possesses as well. But the uniqueness of the divine soul is that the thought, speech, and action of the divine soul are found in the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, the natural expression of the divine soul is the mitzvahs of the Torah. Both its intellectual faculties and emotional faculties are expressed through thought, speech, and action. So the divine soul expresses its personality via thinking. You think what you are about, what you want, what you understand, what you feel. You say the same and you do. You implement what you understood, what you felt, what you thought about, what you spoke about. So the instruments of expression of the divine soul are to be found in the Tav Reishit Gimel Mitzvah Satera. Why is this? Because the divine soul, by definition, gravitates to touch the divine. The animal soul is self-oriented, self-directed, therefore it's eager and its ambition is to fulfill itself. So it also has garments, and it uses the same organs to implement those garments, whether the brain, or the mouth, or the hands, or the feet, or the other organs. Both souls share the same organs. But in the animal soul, the thought, speech, and action will not necessarily be of Taryag Mitzvah Satera. They will be involvement, thinking and talking and doing other things, which give expression to the convictions and the personality of that soul. Regarding the divine soul, however, which the whole character of the divine soul seeks and yearns to soar beyond itself and have a relationship with what is true, transcendental, and eternal in life, so the natural expression, the mediums, the instruments, the garments of this soul will be thought, speech, and action of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And now the Alter Rebbe specifies this. For when a person actively fulfills all the mitzvahs, all the precepts which require physical action, when he dons tefillin on his arm and in his head, he fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis, he fulfills the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, whatever mitzvah which requires action. This is utilizing the garment of deed. He puts on the garment of deed. What does it mean the soul puts on the garment of deed? He does something. He does a mitzvah which requires an activity, a physical activity. Ubedibur, this is the garment of deed. Ubedibur, and with the power of speech, who Isaac befirush kol tayag mitzvahs vilchisein, he occupies himself in expounding all of the 613 mitzvahs, and the halacha is the laws governing their fulfillments. In other words, the speech of a person is immersed in the study of Torah, which what is basically the body of Torah. The body of Torah includes the exposition of all the tayag mitzvahs and their halachas. Whether you're learning Chumash, or you're learning Mishnah, or you're learning Gemara, or Halacha, or Shas HaTshuvas, or any part of the Torah, either it's discussing the actual mitzvahs, or details of the mitzvahs, or laws of the mitzvahs, or reasons for the mitzvahs, or ideas behind the mitzvahs. That's basically what Torah is all about. So through Maisa, he actively fulfills the mitzvahs, and Dibur, he is immersed in the study of Torah, which evolves all around the mitzvahs. Ubemachshava, and in thought, with his power of thought, he comprehends all that he is capable of understanding in the pardes of Torah. What is the pardes of Torah? The word pardes, the literal meaning of it is an orchard, a garden. But here, and in many, many places, both in Kabbalah and in Chassidus, it's used as an acronym for the four Hebrew words of Peshat, Remez, Drush, and Seid, which are the four levels of Torah. Every word, verse, halacha, concept, story in Torah can be interpreted, generally speaking, on four levels. On the pshat level, remez level, drush level, and sod. Pshat is the plain, literal sense of the word, of the law, of the idea. Hints. Intimations, yeah. Remez, intimations. Then you have drush, the exeges, homiletical, and so on and so forth. And Said is the esoteric, mystical meaning of every aspect in the Torah. There are many, many svarim that deal with expounding the pshat of Torah, others the remez, others the drush, and others the sod. So, the machshava of the divine soul, the thought, what is the occupation of the thought? What is the garment of the thought? The thought of the divine soul understands thinks and comprehends everything that it's capable of understanding on all four levels of Torah. So when a person occupies and utilizes his mind, thought, his mind, his thoughts, his speech, and his action in this method, Hare Klalus, Tafresh Gimel Evari Nafshim Lubashim Tayag Mitzvah Satayda, then all of his soul's 613 organs are clothed in the 613 commandments of the Torah. Just as the human body consists of 248 organs and 365 blood vessels, Reish Mem Ches Evarim and Shin Samachei Gidim, which correspond, Chazal tell us, to the 248 positive commandments of the Torah and the 365 prohibitive commandments. The Ramach Mitzvah Esse and the Shalom Mitzvah Leisese, which together, 248 and 365, is 648 in all. So true, so the same, the soul, similarly, is comprised of 613 organs. Now, of course, this is the spiritual organs, which are the spiritual counterpart of the 613 bodily organs. Each organ of the body, as well as its counterpart in the soul, corresponds to a specific mitzvah of the Torah. So when through its three garments, thought, speech, and action, the soul embraces all the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, then all its 613 organs, faculties of the soul are enclosed within all the 613 mitzvahs, each organ of the soul and its related mitzvah. So although generally in Paragimel he spoke about the soul having 10 spiritual organs, 10 faculties, these 10 can be subdivided into 613 dimensions and particles which create the identity of the soul, corresponding to the 613 chambers and compartments in the body of the human being. Thus, the soul and the body are in perfect sync. All these correspond to the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. So when the divine soul embraces through its garments the actual mitzvahs, through thinking the mitzvahs, speaking, and then ultimately doing, so what happens over here is, the soul is fully expressing itself. Every dimension, every dynamic, every facet of the identity of its soul is finding expression via one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. This is generally speaking, as the Alter Rebbe began, Hare Klolos. And indeed, it's brought down that it seems that Klolos over here is a mistake. It has to say Hare Biklolos. Hare Biklolos means generally speaking, this is what goes on over here. And now he continues to discuss this in a more specific manner. Ubepratus, specifically. Pchinas, chachma bina da'ash benafshay. Mulubashay's bahasagas hatera, shahumasik bepshat remes drushad, kifi yecholos hasagas v'sheresh nafshay l'mayla. Specifically, the chabad of his soul. In other words, the intellectual faculties of his soul, the faculty of conception, comprehension, and application, are clothed in the comprehension of Torah, which he comprehends in the four levels of Pardus of the Torah, to the extent of his mental capacity, and according to the supernal root of his soul. Every human being is obligated to learn Torah, as specified in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the amount of every day obligation of every single human being who is obligated is a mitzvah to learn Torah every day and every night. But of course, people and Jews vary in their mental capacity, in their ability of comprehension, which does not exclude anyone from the mitzvah, but does say that people understand Torah on different levels, different ways. Everyone has a different intellectual ability. That's one variation. A second variation he points out is very interesting. According to the supernal root of a soul, certain individuals determined on what type of soul, what type of character their soul has, he discussed in Perek Beis, the evolution of the soul. Although all the souls come from one root, but they evolve through a variety of ranks and levels that they assume different identities. So different souls are intrinsically connected to different parts of the Torah. The Chidah in the Shem Agdailim tells a fabulous story. The Arizal, who lived in Tzvas and had many Talmidim, Gurei Hari, one of the greatest was Reb Moshe Alshich, who wrote a Pirush on the Chumash. Familiar with the Pirush of Reb Moshe Alshich, it's a very powerful Pirush. He explains all the Psukim, most of the Psukim, according to the dimension of Drash of Torah. Reb Moshe Alshich would sit in at the classes the Arizal would give. in Tzvas, and he would fall asleep. The Arizal would begin speaking, and Rabbi Moshe fell asleep. And he felt very bad, and as much as he tried to keep himself awake, to no avail. So he once turned to the Arizal, he said, Rebbe, why is this that the moment you start talking, I fall asleep? But in our times, people don't ask that question. It's quite obvious why people fall asleep in classes. But by the Alshech and Arizal, this phenomenon did not take place. So the Arizal said, I'll explain you. There are four levels of Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod, corresponding to the four spiritual worlds. The world of emanation, creation, formation, and action. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiyah. The Torah I expound is the Soy dimension of Torah, the esoteric dimension of Torah, the Torah of the world of emanation. Your soul is rooted in the world of creation, thus in the world of Dirash. So therefore, your soul intrinsically is not connected in such a powerful way to this dimension of Torah. See, you fall asleep. Your contribution to the Jewish world, your contribution to Torah has to be in the world of Drash. And indeed, when you learn the Alshech, you see that he expounds the Psukim on that level. It's totally different than when you see how the Pri Eitz Chaim or the Eitz Chaim or Kisvei Arizal discuss Torah Shebiksav. So, the Alter Rebbe is saying over here that the thought is the garment that expresses the Chabad of the Nefesh HaLikis. The Chabad of the Nefesh HaLikis is the intellectual, cognitive experience of the soul. The soul conceives, comprehends, applies. What is the garment, what is the instrument that expresses it? It's thought to yourself. You cannot experience your conception, comprehension, application without thinking. It all must come via the medium of thought. So thought is an activity. Thought is not your personality. Thought expresses your cognitive personality to yourself. Since you're talking about a divine soul, so its Chabad is divinely oriented. So what does it enclose its Chabad in? What does it think about? Torah. Whether Pshat, Remez, Drushot. So the thought is the garment for the Chabad dimension of the soul. Then he continues, V'hamidais, and the Midais. The Midais are the emotional faculties of the soul. Shehein Yira V'ava. Namely, the emotions of fear, of awe, and love. Va'anfein v'toldeisein, together with their offshoots and ramifications. Melubashois b'kiyum ha-mitzvahis b'maisu b'dibur. Shehu talmud Torah shekeneged kulam. They are clothed in the fulfillment of the mitzvahs in deed and in word. In word, what are the mitzvahs in word? Meaning the study of Torah, which is the equivalent of all the mitzvahs. We all know the Mishnah Masechta Peah. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, we say it every morning, V'talmud Torah k'neged kulam, that although there are many mitzvahs, Talmud Torah is the equivalent of all mitzvahs. So when he specifies what type of mitzvahs he's dealing with in the world of Dibur, he says, first and foremost, Talmud Torah, which is equivalent to all mitzvahs. So the Chabad of the Nefesh HaLikis is expressed via the medium of thought. What about the emotional faculties of the Nefesh HaLikis? They are expressed in speech and in action. What type of speech and action? In the speech and action of observing, of performing mitzvahs. The mitzvahs of action are, of course, most of the mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs require physical activity, but there are many mitzvahs that are not physical activities, but rather require speech. For example, the mitzvah of Krishma, the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So he gives the most primary example, which is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. So the divine soul expresses its emotional experiences via talking and doing mitzvahs. What is the connection of doing and talking about observing mitzvahs via speech and action to the emotional faculties of the soul, that they are actually the natural expression of it? They are its garments. What is the connection? We understand why the Chabad of the soul is expressed naturally through thought. Conceiving, comprehending, applying. How do you express that? How do you express what you understand? You think about it. That's the only way you can experience contemplation. But what is the connection? Why do we say that the emotional faculties of the soul, their natural garments, the clothes they don, the clothes they put on, is the dibur and the maisa of mitzvahs? So the Alter Rebbe explains, this is because, ha'ava, he shayrish, kol ramach mitzvahs asei umimena hainim shachis. The love of Hashem is the root of a Jew's observance of all the 248 positive mitzvahs, and from it they issue forth. From the love that the divine soul experiences, all the 248 mitzvahs come forth. Ubil adah. And without it, without this love, ein lehen kiyum amiti. They have no true substance. Why? Ki, this is because hamakayimun be'emes, someone who fulfills the mitzvahs in truth, hu ha'ayev eshem Hashem v'chafetz ladavka be'emes. He who fulfills the mitzvahs in truth is he who loves Hashem's name and who truly desires to cleave to Him. Now one cannot truly cleave to Him, except through the fulfillment of the 248 pikudin. Pikudin mean commandments, tzivuyim. That is the only way that one can truly cleave to Him. Shehem, for they, the 248 mitzvahs, are amach evar in the malka. They are the 248 organs of the king, as is explained elsewhere. The Alter Rebbe is telling us here that the ahava of the divine soul will naturally express itself in observing mitzvahs. Ahava is the root of the observance of all the ramach mitzvahs essay, and they come from the feeling of ahava, and furthermore, without ahava, they have no true substance. So the divine soul loves Hashem, but the divine soul knows it cannot connect itself truly to Hashem only by keeping a mitzvah, only through observing mitzvahs. Why is that? So the Alter Rebbe says that the mitzvahs are the 248 organs of the king. What does he mean? So the term is a term used in Zohar. In Tikkuni Zohar, in Tikkun Lamed, the Zohar says, Kol Aver Ve'Aver de Malka Ihi Mitzvah. Every organ of the king, that is a mitzvah. Now, of course, we have to understand this on a metaphysical level and divest it from its physical layers. When we talk about organs over here, we're not talking about physical organs, Chas V'Shalom. Hashem has to be divested of any type of corporeal reality. Ein lo guf ve'ein lo dmus haguf. He has no body and no image of a body. So what's pshah that the mitzvahs are the organ of the king? Just as organs on the physical level, physical organs of a body, are the instruments through which the soul express themselves, and every organ is created and crafted and molded in a specific fashion and manner to suit and to draw and to be a vessel and a medium and an instrument for the revelation of a certain dimension of the soul. For example, the organ of our eye is a unique vessel and medium to express the power of sight the soul possesses. The same is true with our ears, our nose, our brains, our hearts, and so on and so forth. The same is true in the spiritual sense. When you talk about a mitzvah, you say a mitzvah is an organ of a king, of the king. What do we mean, an organ of the king? The mitzvahs are the instruments. They are the spiritual organs which are the instruments to communicate the divine reality, the means through which a person connects with that reality. So the divine soul, if it loves Hashem, it wants to connect to Hashem. So if it wants to connect to Hashem, first of all, it wants to do His will, and it wants to become connected to the divine reality. And the way to do that is through the mitzvahs. The 248 positive mitzvahs are the organs of the king through which the divine soul connects, orients itself, and becomes linked with the reality of Hashem, with the reality of godliness, with the reality of sanctity. So therefore, what is the natural expression of the emotions? Observing mitzvahs. Either the mitzvahs which require talk, speaking, or the mitzvahs that require action. That's what he's saying. Someone who observes the mitzvahs truthfully is someone who loves Hashem. What does he mean truthfully? Of course you can observe the mitzvahs without love, in a robotic manner. It's quite a common phenomenon. A Jew does a mitzvah, that's how he was trained, educated. He does it. There's no feeling, there's no motivation behind. But that will not be defined someone who's fulfilling them in truth. Someone who's fulfilling them in truth means someone who's fulfilling them with pathos, enthusiasm, fervor, life, vitality, energy. Someone who identifies with what he's doing. That's called fulfilling the mitzvahs in truth. For that, comes from the Ahava. From the Ahava that someone experiences towards Hashem, it motivates him. And so to speak, coerces him. You have Ahava, you want to cleave to Hashem, express yourself through mitzvahs. And for that, of course, it needs the tool of speech and action. Yeah. Your question is, if something spiritually occurs when someone observes the mitzvahs on a very robotic level without experiencing the emotions of Ahava or Yira. Yes, indeed. And the second part of Perek Dalet will discuss that at length. But not yet. We'll get to it. In Mitzvah Hashem, next week we're going to discuss that. Yeah. Everything in Torah can be understood with Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sot. So your question is, how does this relate to Ayin, Panim, L'Teira, which says, Chazal say that every aspect in Torah can be interpreted in 70 ways. Actually, literally, it means there are 70 faces to Torah. Every aspect of Torah has 70 faces. In other words, 70 ways you can look at it. That's why I emphasize generally speaking. Every level of these four levels has many offshoots and branches. You're saying, Shivim Panim L'Teira, I'll tell you even more. The Arizal writes in one of his Sfarim, L'Kut Teira L'Arizal, that every word and aspect of the Torah can be interpreted, you know, in how many ways? 600,000. Corresponding to the 600,000 souls of the Jewish people. So what does it mean, Pshat Remez Drush Sod? Pshat Remez Drush Sod is the general framework, the general structure. You look in Sfarim. How do you know which Sefer is discussing which part of Torah? For that, you have to look at the Shiur Blatt. You have to look at the title page. The Baal HaTurim is not Pshat. It's also not Sod. The Baal HaTurim is Remez. That's his contribution. The Arizal is not Pshat, not Remez, not Drush. It's Sod. Rashi is Pshat. And so on and so forth. And every one of the four levels also has all four. So there are many offshoots and branches. This is very, he's sketching over here a very general framework. So this is Ahava. And now the Alter Rebbe continues. V'hayira, the fear, the awe, he shodesh l'shasal l'isasa. This is the root of one's observance of this 365 prohibitive mitzvahs. Why? Ava, we explained, is the shayrish of the Ramach mitzvahs. Because if you love Hashem, you want to connect. And the only way to truly connect is through engaging in mitzvahs. What is the connection between awe and the 365 prohibitive mitzvahs? Ki yare limre demelech malchem lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For he, the God-fearing person, will fear to rebel against the Supreme King of Kings. The Holy One, blessed be He. By acting in defiance of Hashem's will, he's actually consciously rebelling in the will of the Supreme King, the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. So therefore, the experience of Yira, a fear of awe that the Nefesh HaLikis has, will express itself in refraining and abstaining par excellence from engaging in any one of the Shasam Mitzvahs Leisasa, which their act will be in clear and defiance of Hashem's will. And Alter Rebbe is over here not referring to Yiras Ha'enish, to the fear of punishment. That's not what he's referring to. We discussed in Perek Gimel the beautiful words of the Pirush on the Rambam and Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, the beginning of Perek Beis, that there are two types of Ahavas, there are two types of Yiras. There is loving someone, not altruistically, but literally for what you are going to gain out of it. I love you because of the favors you do for me. I fear you because the harm you could issue forth against me. That's of course not true Ava and Yira to that person. That means you love yourself and you're so worried and conscious about yourself, so therefore whatever helps yourself or harms yourself, you either love or you fear. That's not called true Ava and Yira. It's a level, but it's not the real experience of Ava and Yira. A higher level, the Pirush says, is when you love someone because you truly want to cleave to them, and you fear someone not out of what they are going to do to you, but there's a true sense of fear. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here that the year of the Nefesh HaLikis, it fears to rebel against the reality of Melech Malchei HaMelechim. So therefore, it expresses itself in the utmost meticulousness not to, chas v'shalom, transgress a mitzvah through engaging in one of the shasa mitzvahs leisus. He adds, or yira pnimis mizu. Sometimes it's even a deeper level of awe. Shemizbayishish migdulase. That he feels ashamed before Hashem's greatness. Limrais einei kvaidai velasis harabe einaf. So that he will not rebel against the all-seeing eyes of his glory by doing what is evil in his eyes. What is evil in his eyes? Kol te'avas Hashem asher sani. Namely, any of the te'avas Hashem, of the disgusting things which are hated by Hashem. Heima klipos v'sitra achra. These are the klipos and sitra achra. The klipos are the husks, the shells, or the sitra achra, the other side, denoting the side which is antithetical to holiness, to sanctity, to godliness. Hashem hates that, despises it. Asher yinikasa me'adam atachtim, which they, the klipos and sitra achra, draw their nurture from man below, v'achizasam bay, and have their hold in him, b'shasa mitzvus loisasa, through his violation of the 365 prohibitive mitzvahs. We discussed in Perek Aleph, Hashem created in the world reality, spiritual forces and energies which are called klipos and sitra achra, husks and shells, the other side which conceal the truth. The truth is that the world has a creator and the world has a function and divine purpose and utility and design. The klipos and sitra achra, husk, they cover, they conceal this truth. Now, Hashem created them. Why did he create them? Because he wanted that the human beings work on earth, which should be to make himself and the world a place which becomes hospitable and expressive of its divine essence, should be fraught with challenge. So the klipos and sitra achra he created, but we say he hates them. If you hate it, why did you create it? Because he created them, not because he has a positive attitude towards them, but on the contrary, he created them as an obstacle that the person should overcome and abnegate and nullify. Now, the klipos and sitra achra have a certain amount of energy which Hashem gave them, but they're constantly seeking to open up new venues of nurture, of life, of vitality. So who do they go to? Go to the animals. The animals are not moral. The animals are not good or evil. The animals are not in the realm of making moral choices. A tiger is not bad, is not worse than a lamb. The fact that a tiger is an animal that devours, that's its nature. The lamb has its nature, the tiger has its nature. You can't call this one good, this bad. It's two distinct natures. The human being is the only one who has free choice, where the realm of good and evil exist. So when the human being engages in one of the shasa mitzvahs leisasa, what is he doing indeed? He is perpetuating the illusion and the delusion that the klipos and sitra achra impart to our reality. He is demonstrating, he's saying, yes, indeed, this world and myself are not necessarily here solely to serve a higher spiritual divine purpose. I am not about a godly soul which is seeking to find expression in my life. He is giving validity. He is perpetuating through his actions the perspective, the philosophy, the ideology that klipos represent. That's what klipos needs. So what the Jew is doing, he's taking the human element, he's taking his soul, and he himself is enforcing, via his ideology, the reality of the klipos. This is their greatest nurture. This is where they get an extra dosage of vitality that the human being, with his energies and faculties, grants them validity. He becomes a partner with them. So when a Jew contemplates this fact, he is ashamed. This is the yira pnimis. It's a sense of awe, of ashamedness before Hashem's greatness, to rebel against Him, and to actually create and act a phenomenon in the universe which is totally antithetical to His quintessential essence and purpose, to the truth of existence, which is Hashem. The human being is ashamed of it. This is a much deeper yira. It's not only a yira he's scared, he fears to rebel, but it's rather a yira of shame. We all know there are two types of teachers we had. We should have had. One type of teachers managed to instill in the students a fear. Not because he's going to punish you. There's just a certain sense of authority. Other teachers or educators managed to instill in their students not a sense of fear. If you're going to do this, you are to fear me. But a sense of shame. In front of this person who loves me so much, who cares for me about so much, who I know is the truth, I'm ashamed to do certain things. They say about the great Hasidic master, who was a contemporary of the Alter Rebbe, Reb Nachman of Breslov, that when he was a child,
and he did something that he felt was wrong, he would blush. There was a natural blushness. From who would he blush? From Hashem. There is a certain sense of a human being who's sensitive to a higher reality. It's not an issue of fear or even awe. It's an issue of shame. It's totally another level of experience. So the Nefesh HaLikis possesses this yira. It can certainly cultivate it. How does it express this yira? It will never engage in actually performing a mitzvah slices. Actually, this yira is first articulated, this level of yira, in Reishis Chachma. Reishis Chachma is one of the greatest books in Musar that was ever written, authored by Rabbi Eliyahu Dividash, who lived in the 16th century in Israel, the same century like Rabbi Moshe Kardaviro, the Beis Yosef, the Alshech, the Arizal, the great century of Kabbalists. He lived in Eretz Yisrael in Chevron, and he authored Reishis Chachma. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Moshe Kardaviro, who was the Rebbe initially of the Arizal. And in Shah, he has a Shah called Shah Hayira. And in Perek Aleph of Shah Hayira, he discusses this level of Yira, very brief words, almost using the same words, from his Boishish Megdalasai. It's not fear, it's rather a sense of shame of the reality of Hashem. Over here we have the concept that Ahava and Yira are the source of mitzvahs esse and mitzvahs lois esse, which it's noteworthy to mention that the source actually of this concept of the connection between the feelings of Ahava and Yira to the mitzvahs esse and mitzvahs lois esse is in the Zohar again. In Zohar Parshas Nasei, Daf Kof Chav Beis Amud Beis, the Zohar says that a person possesses two names, all the letters, but the two letters of Hashem's name that are connected to the human being's soul, Yud and Hey. Yud is Yira, Vida Ihi Aureshi Debarnash. It dwells on the head of the human being. Umina Yeol Dechilu Liba Debarnash Lemitchal Mekut Shebrichu Olenatir Garmei Deleya Averd Al Pikudin Deleisas. From it, from this sense of awe, there enters a feeling, from this Yud, from Yira, there enters this feeling of awe in the human being's heart to fear Hashem, not to transgress any of the prohibitive commandments. And then the Zohar says, Hey is Ava, Al Reishi de Barnash, Uminei, Al Rechimu de Kutchebrichu, Aramachi Varin Delay, Lekaima Ben Pikudin Dase. From the sense of Ava enters into the human being the sense of love towards Hashem, which engages him and motivates him to observe the Pikudin Dase. Be'emes, the Ramban also says this in Parshas Yisra, and the Pasuk Zachir is here, Mashabas Lekacha. Parshas Yisra, Perik Chav, Pasuk Ches. The Ramban says that Zachar, he brings from Chazal, that Zachar is mitzvahs esse of Shabbos, and Shomer is the mitzvahs loisese of Shabbos. Zog the Ramban, midas Zachar ramzu b'mitzvahs esse v'hu hutza mimidas ha'av ki ha'aisa mitzvah is adayin av ahuvlai. Zachar is connected to mitzvahs esse, and this results from the midah of ava, because when you're doing the commandments that your master wants, you love him. He is beloved by you. Umidas Shamer be mitzvahs leisase, v'hu l'midas hadin v'yaitzim umidas hadin. Shamer is connected to mitzvahs leisase, which is motivated by midas hadin, by the sense of yira, by the sense of awe, by the sense of fear. Now you might ask the question, why can't Ava also motivate mitzvahs leisase? If you love him, so you do what he wants and you don't do what he doesn't want. The answer is that sometimes if there's only love without awe, so the love sometimes, you feel, I love him so much. No, nish gefarlich. If I do this little thing, the love covers up. The love covers up. If there's love, which doesn't have any sense of awe, so you'll take to do what he wants, and there'll be very powerful passion. But sometimes transgression, a person could go off a little bit. One of the Hasidic masters articulated this idea so eloquently by saying in Yiddish, Ahave is geschmacker, aber Yide is gesinter. Love is much more, is very delightful, much more delightful than fear. But fear is much healthier. In the sense that Ava is geschmack. In Ava there's so much soul, so much energy, so much spirituality, so much beauty. Awe, fear has a negative connotation. What do I have to fear Hashem? Let me love Hashem. Love to Hashem is very important, as we explained. But Yira is sometimes very crucial for health, because Yira is the stable commitment, the absolute ideals of halacha, to implement them in one's daily life and not to go off yira is very crucial. So although many times it says that ahava is the sheirish for all mitzvahs, specifically ahava motivates the person to observe the ramach mitzvahs essay, and yira secures that the person should not engage in the mitzvahs lois essay. So therefore, what do we have from here? We have over here a specific blueprint of how the divine soul expresses itself through its garments. The divine soul has a personality and a character. At the essence of this character stands its divine consciousness, its aspiration to soar above itself and touch the divine, its gravitation towards the truth, towards the godly reality. The divine soul is that part in the human being which is not content with self-orientation, with selfishness, but rather is the idealistic, transcendental part of the human being, and every facet and character of it is directed towards that end, whether intellectual or emotional, which basically, in two words, sketch the basic personality, meichin and middos of the soul, its knowledge or its experience. So what, through what does it express itself? So there are three ways, either thinking or speaking or doing. These are the activities, so to speak, that the soul engages in to express who it is.